News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. It's Tuesday, not Monday. I hope you had a wonderful New Year's break. Mine went well. I didn't leave the house. I was too afraid to drive anywhere. So I rang in the New Year sitting in front of my TV, which was a good way to do it. And this is, of course, the show where we talk about issues you may have heard about on WSJM News. As of late, we have longer conversations about things that we've previously talked about. We have longer conversations with the folks who make things happen and who are in the know here in Michigan's great Southwest. We have multiple guests coming up on today's program. First, we'll talk with Southwestern Michigan College President Dave Matthews. Dr. David Matthews, he is going to tell us about a $250,000 gift SMC's nursing expansion project has received. $250,000, the single biggest gift this project has received. Also on today's program, we'll talk with Velma Hendershot of Intercare. She's going to tell us about the new Women's Health Center that Intercare recently celebrated the opening of. They just opened a brand new Women's Health Center. We'll talk with Intercare about that, about why they needed it, and so forth. Also on today's show, we'll chat with Bob Judd from the Rotary, St. Joe Benton Harbor Rotary, also former St. Joe mayor. He'll tell us about the latest round of grants that the Rotary announced recently. And of course, if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM. com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk with Southwestern Michigan College President David Matthews. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. First show of 2018. And we're back here for another year. I hope you had a wonderful 2017. If you didn't, well, now you get another chance. Maybe this year will be better. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we'd check in with Southwestern Michigan College. They have a big project going on over there, which you may have heard about. They are doing an expansion to their nursing building. They're more than doubling its size, and this is an ambitious project. And recently, the college received a $250,000 donation to this project. I chatted with Southwestern Michigan College President David Matthews to learn more about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Dr. Matthews, so SMC, you've received a substantial gift here to the nursing program expansion project. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, we are so delighted that two of our former students who are married made the gift to us. The way that it actually happened was the husband, Kelly Rose, gave his wife, Karen, the nursing simulation lab for her birthday. And in order to do that, that was a $250,000 gift.
Wow, so that's a gift of a nursing lab for his wife.
Yeah, and not just any nursing lab. This is an absolutely state-of-the-art for the 2018 nursing simulation lab, you know, with mannequins that are computer-controlled and can replicate a variety of symptoms, everything from birthing babies to heart attacks and strokes, and really provide the best possible modern nursing experience.
Wow. So, you know, and this is part of the overall more than $9 million expansion you're working on for the nursing building. It's under construction right now, correct?
That's right. That's right. If you would come out, you would see people working outside in the unseasonably warm weather we have, which is good, but it will open up about a year from now.
And in terms of our two donors here, this is Kelly and Karen Rose. Could you tell us more about this couple?
Yeah. So Kelly Rose grew up in Elkhart. His wife, Karen, grew up in Dowagiac. And Kelly went on to really make a name for himself in the RV industry. He actually served 2 years as chairman of the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association nationally. He's in the Recreational Vehicle Motor Hall of Fame. And it was very, very, very successful. I remember him telling me that when he was growing up, his mother told him there was more millionaires per capita in Elkhart than anywhere else because of the RV industry. He said, well, then that's what I want to do. And so he is just, he devoted his life to building companies, working hard. And his wife, whom he met here, became a nurse through the FMC nursing program and worked as a nurse while she was supporting him in his early days. And I think it's fair to say in the later days, he took over the support. So was able to, a couple of years ago, was here just talking to our business students and really connecting with them with real life lessons. And so we asked him to be our commencement speaker. Then he and his wife saw what the college had become, and they were just inspired by that. And so we were delighted when they came forward with this gift. And we couldn't announce it till now because Kelly was surprising his wife, Karen, with it for her birthday.
All right. And you mentioned that with this gift, you're building a special lab as part of the nursing center expansion at SMC. How long have you known that this gift was going to be coming?
Yes, we're doubling the size of our nursing building. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, you know, we got funds from the state of Michigan for $4 million, but it's a $9.6 million project. So we've been saving money in our building and site fund, but we've also gone out on a public campaign, which will continue through 2018. So other people who want to be part of this, I think you probably saw the release earlier, the Lakeland Medical Foundation came forward with a $50,000 gift because they just need us to produce more nurses. And that's what we're going to be able to do with this. And we're going to be able to do it more and put in better, more and better technology the more gifts that we get.
Great. And $250,000 gift, that's got to be one of the biggest gifts this project has received.
It's the biggest single one that we've received so far. We're totaling over 700,000 in total gifts now and have a number of requests out and are very hopeful that other people will be inspired by this opportunity to, you know, it really does two things. It makes a difference for the community for us to be able to produce more nurses. There's no doubt about that. There's a nursing shortage. Mm-hmm. But every single nurse themselves is a life transformed by education who can then have a great paying job that they can support their family with. And so it's just so good for the region. So if people are either motivated by healthcare in general or about helping a project that helps help students, this is a great one to consider donating to.
Okay, we've been talking with Southwestern Michigan College President David Matthews about a $250,000 gift their new nursing center expansion received recently. Anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Matthews?
No, other than, of course, we're very grateful and we're going to be able to do so much more because of this generous gift.
Okay, that's Southwestern Michigan College President David Matthews' $250,000 gift to help them with their nursing building expansion. They're more than doubling the size of their nursing facility, and that's so that SMC can better respond to the market demands of Southwest Michigan in the coming years. Nursing, a rapidly growing profession, and certainly a big demand for nurses around here. We have plenty of hospitals, and SMC is doing its part to try to rise to the occasion. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about something a little more serious. This is very serious indeed. Lake Superior State University has released its 43rd annual list of banished words. This is something we love to hear about each year. It's a tradition at New Year's. Tens of thousands of nominations were made to Lake Superior State University for their 43rd annual list of banished words. An all-too-familiar phrase has topped the list, according to list organizer John Shibley.
Fake news took the largest number of votes, and it's not because people were against any kind of network or politician. The main reason people provided was because fake news is a quick push button, hot button phrase that makes up your mind for you.
Fake news, that's the it's at the top of the list of the banned list of words or phrases this year. That indeed is an easy response to make to any accusation. Fake news this year brought more than just that, though, of words and phrases that need to be banned. Lake Superior State University compiling from tens of thousands of nominations. This year's list includes, of course, fake news, as well as drill down and gig economy. John Shibley, organizer of the project, told us more.
Words will never die. Whether they're used or not depends on the context, whether they're relevant to the person who's going to be consuming the information. I think the English language can accommodate any notion or idea. This list tries to get you to really slow down and think about what words you use and how you express yourself. And that's the serious side of it.
That's John Shibley of Lake Superior State University. He helps to put together the popular words that need to be banned or banished from our language. What words would you add to the list? I don't know. I can think of several annoying words and phrases I hear all the time. And he was telling us that's not all that topped the list of submissions.
Hot water heater. But for some reason, that came up, got several hundred votes. Hot water heater. Nothing burger is another political phrase. Impactful, the word that people feel is used too much. When effective or influential might be a better way to refer to it. Drill down into something rather than expand on a statement. We drill down into it.
Hot water heater on the list. I mean, I guess that it should just be water heater, shouldn't it? But anyway, hot water heater on the list. Tons on the list. I say that a lot. And statements like, quote, let me ask you this. All things that Lake Superior State University is declaring need to be banished from Queen's English. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is our take. Right now, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will chat with Intercare. They're in Benton Harbor, healthcare provider. They recently celebrated the opening of a new women's health center. We'll find out about that on the next segment of the show. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show, to this very chilly Tuesday edition of the show. You know, this weather isn't going to let up. This cold weather, actually, tonight the low is expected to get down to zero. Bear in mind, though, with wind chill, though, that's sub-zero temperatures. Then for Wednesday, we're looking at a high of 15. That's somewhat better than today's negative 5, which is what it was when I left the house. And Thursday, we're expected to get up to a balmy 16 degrees. But next week will be just as cold as this week, from what I understand. So here we go. And that reminds me of an interesting article I saw in Popular Mechanics over the weekend. They say that you're not supposed to warm up your car. According to Popular Mechanics, warming up your car in the cold just harms the engine. Quote, the long-held notion that you should let your car idle in the cold is only true for carbureted engines. So this story was released over the weekend by Popular Mechanics, run by several other news organizations. I should say I actually saw it thanks to the Associated Press. It says that an internal combustion engine works by using pistons to compress a mixture of air and vaporized fuel within a cylinder. The compressed mixture is then ignited to create a combustion event, a little controlled explosion that powers the engine. It says, quote, when your engine is cold, the gasoline is less likely to evaporate and create the correct ratio of air and vaporized fuel for combustion. Engines with electronic fuel injection have sensors that compensate for the cold by pumping more gasoline into the mixture. The engine continues to run rich in this way until it heats up to about 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So this scientist, Stephen Ciotti, a mechanical engineer who specializes in combustion engines, says, quote, that is a problem because you're actually putting extra fuel into the combustion chamber to make it burn, and some of it can get onto the cylinder walls. Quote, gasoline is an outstanding solvent, and it can actually wash the oil off the walls if you run it in those cold, idle conditions for an extended period of time. So this article saying you shouldn't be warming up your car, we've all been doing it wrong for years, apparently. And after reading this article, that did not change my behavior in any way at all. In fact, I leave my car running for a good half hour to 45 minutes before I get into it in the morning. That's right. If you're looking to steal a car, go by my place in the morning. You'll find a car sitting out there. The door's locked. But I will let it sit out there and warm up for as long as I feel like it, because that just makes everything easier. You know how much easier it is to brush the snow off your car when the thing is already hot? Anyway, right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would talk with Intercare. They recently celebrated the opening of a new women's health center here in Benton Harbor. I caught up with Intercare Executive Director Velma Hendershot. This was just before they held the grand opening for the 9,100-square-foot facility in Benton Harbor. This is more than $1 million project. Let's learn about Intercare's new Women's Health Center in Benton Harbor. All right, Director Hendershot. So Intercare, new Women's Health Center opened in Benton Harbor. It's my understanding you got a $1 million federal grant to make this facility possible, correct?
We did get $1 million as a part of the Health Infrastructure Investment Program from HRSA. And we had had slated those dollars to construct our Women's Health Center, which is open, and we're having an open house on Wednesday, December the 13th. So we're very excited about that.
So tell us a bit about the center. What do you have there?
Well, the Women's Health Center will be pretty much specializing in services receiving obstetrical and gynecological care. There in our Benton Harbor community. The space of the existing site is obviously has reached its capacity, so we were thrilled to have been able to get the additional funding to construct a women's health center to specialize, again, as I said, for women that are receiving obstetrical and gynecological specialized services.
So is there a big need here locally for a facility like this?
There is. Obviously, we feel that there is, and as our caseload keeps growing and women keep coming to us for such services, we wanted to be able to have a facility that was targeted just for their needs. And I think that individuals and people that will attend the open house will see that it is going to be very conducive to just that.
Okay, and the new facility in Benton Harbor, it's on M139. You have several different sort of spaces located within this facility.
Well, it's about it's approximately a little over 9,000 square feet. We have six exam rooms, a nurse triage, two different rooms for non-stress and ultrasound stations, counseling rooms. Lab, you know, obviously we also have a pregnancy centering program, and so we've got a room for that. And we've also incorporated a hygiene room, so just to integrate hygiene services to our women in care. So we're very excited about being able to offer all those services at our location there.
Okay, and in terms of Intercare itself, you know, you're located in Benton Harbor. Do you primarily serve individuals of low incomes?
Well, we certainly deny care to no one. Anyone can come to our services, and we will provide care. Historically, clearly the reason that we are in our various communities is to take care of individuals who oftentimes are unable to access health care or can't fully afford it. We do get some federal dollars to help subsidize that care, but again, we deny care to no one.
Now, this facility, the construction began, about a year ago.
Yeah, it was approximately in January of this year, and we moved in the week of November the 20th. So, yeah, it's taken a little bit of time to get it constructed, but we're very excited that we're open and operational now.
Great. So that's Intercare Executive Director Velma Hendershot telling us about the new Women's Health Center they opened up last month in Benton Harbor. This new facility made possible partly thanks to a $1 million federal grant, and now they can provide the health needs of women in the Benton Harbor area. Velma, they're telling us certainly there was a demand for such a facility. Now, it wasn't just the $1 million from the U.S. Health Resources and Services Administration that made the new facility possible. It was also thanks to a $150,000 donation from the Lakeland Foundation. The new place, it's located right next to InterCare's facility on M139 there. So it's easy to find, and that's InterCare doing all they can to help continue serving Benton Harbor, St. Joseph, and all of Southwest Michigan. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought we'd find out about the latest round of grants from the Rotary, the St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation. Last month announced its grant recipients for 2017. They are giving out a total of $58,000 to nonprofits this year in Michigan's Great Southwest. So I caught up with Foundation Secretary Bob Judd. You may know him as a former mayor of St. Joe, and asked him a little bit about the latest Benton Harbor St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation grants. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Bob. So the Rotary, St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation, has announced its latest round of grants. How much of a difference can the Rotary make each year with the grants that it announces to local nonprofits?
Well, we're really pleased to be able to make these grants. And this year we identified that we could make grants totaling $58,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we have grants collection process starts in September, and people would apply for the grant. Our minimum grant size is $5,000, and it's directed to certain specific areas. And we had a number of good applications this year. Unfortunately, we couldn't make grants to everybody that applied, but we were able to divide up the money to the 8 organizations that received grants this year.
And what sorts of organizations do you look to support each year with the grants?
Well, to qualify for our grant, we're a nonprofit foundation, so we can only make grants to nonprofit organizations or governmental organizations. Mm-hmm. This year we didn't have any local government organizations, but in the past we have.
So you just look for organizations that are beneficial to the community?
Beneficial to the community. Our focus areas are sort of well-being, youth, that sort of thing. And if you look at the grants we made this year, they're pretty much for that. The one exception would be, and that's really a youth-directed program, the Bark Angels is a grant for using programs to work with kids that have emotional, physical, emotional, and social needs. So they're really all directed to the community needs, one way or the other.
So can you tell us what your biggest grant this year was?
Our largest grant was to the Surratt Nature Center. They're going to build a bird of prey enclosure to house 2 great horned owls and a hawk at the Nature Center that will let people that come and visit the Nature Center interact with those birds.
Wow, great. And I see, other ones include Citizens Mediation Service.
Yes, and they're pleased as well because basically this is to train volunteers who will perform mediation services for low-income self-represented litigants seeking divorce through the Berrien County Family Court. Typically, people in that situation just don't have the resources to hire an attorney to help them with their domestic problems, and hopefully this will let them train 15 to 20 people to help with that process.
Okay, and there's several other organizations receiving grants, $7,500 for Curious Kids Museum, $8,000 as mentioned for Senior Nutrition Services, $7,800 for Second Harvest Gleaners Food Bank of West Michigan. Overall this year, the St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation announced, as you said, $58,000 in grants. How does that compare to the typical year for the Rotary?
We've been in that range for a while. We have a formula that we calculate so that we do a certain percentage of our average funds over, we calculated two ways, the last 2 years and then over the last several quarters. And doing that calculation this year was $58,000. I think last year was $57,000. We have about, the stock market's been good this year so far. Our assets are up to about $1.6 million.
Hmm.
Our goal is to keep growing the fund, but also to be making grants. So we don't grant the full amount we gain each year so that we can, divide it out over time to provide some grants every year.
Okay, and how much of a difference has the Rotary been able to make throughout its lifetime here in the St. Joseph Benton Harbor area?
This foundation was established in 1980. The first grant was made in 1993 as we built up our assets. And we've made annual grants since 1997, so that's, what, 20 years. The total since we've started making grants, we've made over $830,000 in grants to community organizations over that time frame.
We're talking with the St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Foundation's Bob Judd about the latest round of grants for this year. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Bob?
Well, we're pleased to do that, and we're pleased because I think Rotary International does a lot of good things around the world, and this is an opportunity for our Rotary Club to make impact in the local area, the things that don't get on the radar screen of Rotary International. So it's another way to serve the community, and I think it has helped. If you've been involved with some of these, for instance, the Senior Nutrition Service grants, we've done that a number of years, and basically that helps fund their Meals on Wheels for our community, St. Joe Benton Harbor. And I've had the opportunity when I was serving as mayor in St. Joe, once a year they have a ride-along day. And that's a neat experience because some of those people that are shut-ins, the only person they see a day is the Meals on Wheels person, knocks on their door and brings in their meals for that day. So it's some of these things are great programs for people in our community that have serious needs.
Okay, that's Bob Judd, former St. Joe mayor of the St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation, telling us about the $58,000 in grants the Rotary Club Foundation announced this year. And they're able to make quite a difference here in Michigan's Great Southwest. And we appreciate Bob's time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will chat with the Michigan Department of Transportation about their website where you can find out about road conditions this time of year. That's certainly relevant. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Tuesday edition of the show, first edition of 2018. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show. We have longer conversations about things you may have heard about in the news here on WSJM. As of late, we talk with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. So far in today's program, we chatted with Southwestern Michigan College about their nursing center expansion and a large gift it recently received. We also talked with Intercare about the new Women's Health Center here in Benton Harbor, and we talked with the St. Joseph Benton Harbor Rotary Club Foundation about their next round of grants, more than $50,000 in grants to nonprofits around Michigan's Great Southwest from the Rotary. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would check in with the Michigan Department of Transportation to learn about the website that they have set up to let people know about road conditions, and not only that, but also just advice from the Michigan Department of Transportation for driving this time of year. We had a big pileup in Van Buren County over the weekend. That wasn't long after another big pileup on U.S. 131, and then last year we had the huge record-breaking pileup on I-94, so it's pileup season here in Michigan's Great Southwest. I chatted with the Michigan Department of Transportation's Nick Sharippa to find out about how you can avoid being one of the people caught up in one of those pileups. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Nick, so let's just to start off, let's talk about what MDOT does to maintain the roads when it's like this time of year.
Well, snow falls on the road and we plow it off. That's kind of how it goes, I think, you know, big picture. But we've got 63 routes across our seven counties, and we have 83 trucks and 140 operators over seven garages waiting. A little more than 36,000 tons of salt on hand to start the winter. So we've got some tools, we've got some folks, and we just wait for the winter weather to start. And here we are. The snow is falling, so as it falls, quite literally just move it off the road.
So your plow's out there 24/7, or do they have set shifts and hours?
Well, we do have shift hours, and when the snow is falling, for as long as snow is falling, our operators are out 24/7. And then as soon as the snow lets up, we go back to our shifts, and we still do the 12-hour shifts during the day, day and night, obviously. But we'll stop plowing once we get to a certain point. So that varies depending on the road. If you're talking about like an I-196 or an I-94, we're going to try to get as much of this ice and snow off the road as we can, and we'll keep going until we get to that point. And with some of our more rural routes, M routes, a little lighter traffic volumes, we'll get down to one cleared tire track in each direction. So the level of service changes a little bit depending on the route, but for the most part, it's nonstop while the snow is falling and then down to that acceptable level of being cleared once the snow stops.
Does MDOT dump like a mixture of sand and salt, or is it all salt?
It is all salt. You know, we don't use much sand. We use sand in very, very extreme circumstances. And really in key locations. It's not something we use broadly, and that's primarily because of the cost. You know, for every $5 you spend in sand and we use on the roads, it costs $50 to clean it up. And that covers, we're talking about damage to the roadway. I mean, sand is very corrosive to the pavement, to the paved surface. But it also doesn't go away. Like salt, you put it on the road, it melts, and it dissipates. With sand, it just gets moved to the side. So we have to clean up curb yards. Again, it does damage to the pavement, to the paved surface itself. So there's a lot that comes along with using salt, so we try to avoid it as much as we can. There are times when we don't have a choice. Maybe it's a steep hill or an intersection that's on a curve or something like that where we can use it sand in a very targeted sense, a very small location. But as a general rule, we don't use sand.
Right, and something that people need to keep in mind is once it gets to about 20 degrees or colder, the salt doesn't even work.
So we have to be very careful around the 20-degree mark, maybe a little warmer, 22 degrees. It's kind of where we have that cutoff. And the reason why is simply because the salt will melt some ice and snow, but very quickly, because it's so cold, it will simply refreeze before our plows have a chance to move it off the roadway. And that's kind of how our operators use salt. They use it as a method of breaking up snow and ice on the roads, until they can go back and plow it and move it off the road. So if it's too cold, it refreezes too quickly and just makes a sheet of ice, and we don't want that. Okay.
All right, so an MDOT has the MyDrive website. What sorts of things can you see at MyDrive?
Oh, we have all kinds of fun layers there. I think of most concern or most usefulness during the winter months, we've got several layers you can use. You can turn on the layer to see where our plows are. All of our MDOT plows are fitted with GPS, so if we turn that layer on the map, you'll get two color icons, the blue icons and the purple icons will pop up on the map where our plows actually are. And if you click on any one of those icons on the map, the blue icons will tell you if they're sanding salting or plowing. And then the purple icons will tell you that, but they'll also give you a snapshot. It's refreshed every 60 seconds or so of what the plow operator is actually seeing through his windshield. So if you look at those snapshots in different areas, you can get an idea of what the roads look like, what the weather looks like. We have traffic cameras that have weather information attached to them. So open up those cameras, not only do you get kind of a snapshot of what that camera is seeing of the road conditions, but you also get an idea of what the wind speed, surface temperature, air temperature, precipitation, those kinds of weather details are at that camera station. So those are the easiest ones to use, probably the most relevant. You can also use the traffic speed layer that gives you an idea of how well traffic is moving in different sections of state trunk line. So, you know, you look at the camera, you see some snow. You look at the weather information. Maybe you see some precipitation and a low surface temperature or a low air temperature. And then you take a look at that speed layer and you see some red and black, and you know that traffic is really almost, you know, grinding to a stop or just isn't moving that quickly. You get an idea of what it might look like to be on that segment of state trunk line. So there are several layers. You can use them one at a time. You can use them in conjunction with each other. Really, the idea is try to get a really good picture, snapshot, if you will, of what the weather and the traffic looks like on different segments of trunk line.
All right. So we're talking to the Michigan Department of Transportation's Nick Sharip. Nick, remind us of that website to check the road conditions.
Michigan.gov/drive, D-R-I-V-E. That's our MyDrive website. Works on laptop, desktop computers, as well as internet-enabled mobile devices, smartphones and tablets and the like.
Anything else you want Southwest Michigan residents to think about before they get on the highway right about now?
Well, we do have one more fun addition this year. All our trucks are now fitted, in addition with a green,
Okay.
All our MDOT plow trucks, in addition to the amber flashing lights, now have green beacons as well. So if you're out on the road and you see an MDOT truck, you're going to see green and amber flashing beacons. And what we really found is those green beacons do a great job of cutting through snowfall and kind of that dusk time during the day and other light pollution and really make our plow stand out. So as an additional safety feature, those green lights have been added to all our plows and really help motorists spot them on the roads when they're out doing their work. And I think, you know, we try to encourage people every year, obviously focus on the road, focus on your driving, minimize distractions to the best of your ability. And when you do come up on an MDOT plow or any plow truck for that matter, be it state or county or city, you really want to give them as much room as you can to do what they need to do. Those are big, heavy vehicles. They take a long time to stop. They don't turn on a dime. They're certainly not sports cars. So just, you know, give them a wide berth. Give them plenty of room to do what they do. And if you need to pass, please do so safely and as expeditiously as possible. And, you know, just try to keep those plow operators in mind. Those are men and women who are in that truck for 8, 10, 12 hours at a time and really putting their safety at risk and their lives on the line. To make sure that they're giving you the safest roads possible for you and your family.
Okay, that was the Michigan Department of Transportation's Nick Shiripa there with some reminders. Don't forget, the road maintenance vehicles now have blinking green lights. And of course, please note, when it's as cold as it is today, the road salt doesn't work. Don't jump on the highway and try to do 90. And of course, the MDOT has this website, michigan.gov/mydrive, where you can check out the weather conditions. Let me click it right here. I'm going to click to the MyDrive and take a gander and see what I can see over there. Well, I see there's currently a problem area down by Michigan City. Looks like something happening. There's construction in New Buffalo looking at this thing. You can look at some cameras, traffic cams. There's not a whole lot of them around our area, although there is one where 94 and I-196 meet. Yep, it's got snow on it, looking at this picture. Bear that in mind. And personally, I don't get on the highway at all when it's like this, but some folks have no choice. That's the Michigan Department of Transportation's MyDrive website. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. I thank you for tuning in. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll have a conversation with Governor Rick Snyder. Our own Pat Moody talked to him, actually. And then we'll check in with a Lakeland health expert to talk about how you can keep yourself safe when it's this cold outside. Simple tips, mainly it amounts to bundle up, but we'll learn about that from a nurse tomorrow on Our Take. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to have been with you. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.